there was a sentiment that over the years we have been improving in the quality of the knowledge sharing platform that has been associated with the Conference of Ministers. And it was no longer just a statutory meeting. It was much more than that. It was the rendezvous, the meeting point for people to come and discuss about Africa's future from this perspective of economics, finance, development, planning. And last year we got about 1,000 participants. 65 ministers came. Heads of state are now gracing the occasion with their presence, and we now call it Africa Development Week.
What are some of the highlights and perhaps expected outcomes of the Africa Development Week?
We are going to have Ajun Chang, which is a very famous economist and has been one of the leaders of the so-called institutional school of economics that makes the case for a reinterpretation of theories about how the state should play a role in development. Last year we had Donald Kaberuka, then president, outgoing president of the African Development Bank, and this year we have Ajun Chang, that we are very proud that he has accepted this invitation. People should remember this is a joint meeting with the African Union, so it is an opportunity also to bring the political dimension to these discussions.
From the list of about 17 publications to be launched during the Africa Development Week, which two would you like to lay emphasis on?
Our two most important reports in this series that we are going to launch this week is a report that has been on the cooking for some time on corruption. This is a way of saying the debate about corruption in Africa has to become more sophisticated. First, we had a number of installments delivered on illicit financial flows, thanks to a commission that was created under President Mbeki to look into this issue. Now that we have a very good knowledge of illicit financial flows, we are expanding the scope to also include the issues of corruption, particularly looking into the various indexes that look into corruption from different angles and demonstrating that most of them are not doing justice to Africa, not because we don't have corruption, but because we really need to tackle corruption from facts and not from perceptions, as it has been the case. And we are very happy that we are going to be able to launch this installment on corruption that is part of our series on Africa governance reports. We also have another report on industrialization. The economic report on Africa is making the case for an industrialization in Africa that will be very different from what has been done in other parts of the world. Because we are latecomers, we have the benefit of being latecomers. There is only one benefit of being latecomer, is to learn from others and have the experience of others so you don't go through the same mistakes. But of course, we are also cognizant of the fact that the field of industrialization and manufacturing is much more difficult than it was before. And obviously, knowing that, we have to look into any possible niche that will reposition Africa. And one of them is actually how we deal with the environmental damage. Because as others will have to retrofit what they have invested in terms of technologies, established processes, with a heavy carbon footprint, we can go a completely different route. First of all, because Africa now has the advantage of counting the cost of energy as being as low for producing renewables as it is for fossil fuels. Second, because Africa can demonstrate that by adding value to its natural resources, we are diminishing emissions in the planet. And third, because we can leapfrog technologies to have a much cleaner platform for manufacturing and production of industrial nature, particularly on agribusiness. So all of these elements are part of this discussion about greening Africa's industrialization, which is the subject of this year's economic report on Africa.